This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Centre, imemc.org, for the week of Friday, August 5th to Thursday, August 11th, 2005. Israel's unilateral disengagement from the Gaza Strip is now less than a week away, but the plan continues to generate bitter controversy among Israelis. Meanwhile, the Israeli military continues its attacks against the Palestinian communities in the form of arrests, killings, invasions, and the obstruction of movement. Finance Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's leading figure opposed to the disengagement plan, resigned on Sunday, saying the policy will endanger the country. After Netanyahu submitted his resignation letter, the cabinet, in a 17-5 vote, gave its final approval to the first stage of the pullout, the dismantling of the isolated Netzarim, Kfar Durim and Morag settlements, three of 21 Gaza settlements to be evacuated. On Thursday, at least 150,000 Israeli right-wing protesters, far more than expected, took part in a demonstration against the withdrawal at Rabin Square in Tel Aviv. Many carried banners reading Gush Katif, I swear we will be there, a reference to the main settlement block in the Gaza Strip. At the demonstration, the leaders of the Yesha Council, the settler organisation spearheading the protests, presented a plan called Orange Dawn, in which they gave instructions for disrupting the pullout, which is slated to start in the early hours of Wednesday morning. They instructed their followers to drive in convoys to the Kisuvim crossing point from Israel into the Gaza Strip in order to prevent security officers from reaching the settlements to start their pullout work. Yesha Council leaders expressed satisfaction with the massive turnout at the rally, saying they would increase their anti-pullout activities in response. Meanwhile, Israeli police and army admitted on Wednesday that they have failed to prevent thousands of right-wing pullout protesters from entering the Gaza Strip. The number of pullout opponents who managed to infiltrate into Gush Katif has risen significantly over the last week, they acknowledged. Several Palestinian residents of the Gaza Strip reported seeing settlers from Morag settlement in the southern part of the Strip, placing dozens of landmines around the settlement on Monday night in an attempt to stop the army from implementing the pullout. The Palestinian Ministry of Interior advised the residents not to go close to the settlements after the Israeli withdrawal and to follow the instructions of Palestinian security forces. On Tuesday, Israeli Defence Minister Shaul Mofaz and Palestinian Minister of Civil Affairs Mohammed Dahlan and James Wolferson, the Quartet's Middle East envoy, agreed on details of a plan to destroy the houses in Gaza Strip settlements slated for evacuation under the Israeli pullout plan. The two sides agreed that Israeli army bulldozers will demolish the walls of the homes in what was described as initial demolition. Palestinian and Egyptian companies hired by the World Bank will then complete the demolition after the Israeli pullout. Some of the rubble from the demolished settlements will be recycled for Palestinian construction in the Gaza Strip, and the rest will be buried in the Sinai Desert or within Gaza. Meanwhile, the Israeli Environment Ministry will take care of the burial of hazardous materials, such as asbestos, in special locations within Israel territory. The demolition process is expected to last between 1.5 and 2 months. Meanwhile, in the West Bank, Israeli soldiers Monday night invaded Nur Sham's refugee camp near Torkorum and fired live ammunition at dozens of homes, killing 18-year-old Tamir Assad Zandik and injuring several residents. And on Tuesday evening, Israeli soldiers based at the separation wall gate in Kafir Kadum village near Kalkilia delayed an ambulance transferring Amin Tayyem, a 70-year-old man suffering a minor heart attack, to the hospital. Tayyem died while soldiers were conducting their routine security checkups. Israel and international peace activists last week accused the Israeli army of using the non-violent demonstrations against the separation wall in the West Bank village of Beilin as a test field for new weapons for dispersing protests, in preparation for using them against Israeli right-wing activists who oppose the disengagement plan. The ammunition used against the demonstrators differs in size and shape, but all cause a strong chemical smell. The Israeli police refused to comment on the side effects of the new ammunition and weapons, its dangers or its price, but admitted they have used new weapons for experimental purposes over the last 18 months. Undeterred by threat of violence from the army, the residents of Beilin and their Israeli and international supporters continued their demonstrations against the wall. On Friday, at least 5 civilians were injured and 17 international and Israeli peace activists were arrested in a protest there. Abdullah Abu Rameh, coordinator of the village's public committee for resistance to the settlements and the wall, said a large contingent of Israeli army and police forcefully dispersed the protest using live ammunition and tear gas. On Wednesday, when 200 locals and international and Israeli peace activists turned out for another demonstration, Israeli troops fired rubber-coated bullets and tear gas, and 10 residents were injured. The army declared the area a closed military zone and ordered the protesters to leave the area. Meanwhile, Israeli military bulldozers uprooted dozens of olive trees west of Beit Sarik village, northwest of Jerusalem, in preparation for construction of the separation wall in the area. The wall will completely isolate the village from the rest of the Palestinian areas, as well as from Jerusalem. Dozens of residents attempting to reach their farmlands clashed with soldiers who used excessive force against the residents while the military bulldozers were uprooting the trees. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas suggested that new elections for president and vice president be held in 4 years. Abbas' suggestion came during his speech before a special session for the Palestinian Legislative Council in Gaza, held on Tuesday. He described the pullout from the Gaza Strip, on the other hand, as a dream coming true, explaining that it is the beginning of the end to the occupation. Abbas urged the Palestinians to ensure a calm withdrawal, saying an orderly transfer of control would boost the Palestinian quest for statehood. The International Red Cross suspended its fieldwork in the Gaza Strip on Tuesday after 3 UN workers, 2 internationals and a Palestinian, were abducted by gunmen in Khan Yunis in the Gaza Strip on Monday. The Palestinian police managed to free the workers unharmed after a shootout with the gunmen. Dozens of Palestinians and about 25 foreigners work for the Red Cross throughout the Gaza Strip. The Presbyterian Church on Friday warned 4 US companies to stop providing military equipment and technology to Israel for use in the occupation of the Palestinian territories, or else face a vote by the church to divest its stock in them. A church investment committee that met Friday in Seattle accused Motorola, Caterpillar, ITT Industries and United Technologies of selling helicopters, cell phones and night vision equipment, as well as other items used by Israel in its forced occupation of Palestinian territory. Other mainline Protestant churches have followed the Presbyterian Church in threatening corporate divestment to press for peace and justice in the Middle East. The Episcopal Church of USA, the United Church of Christ, 2 regions of the United Methodist Church, as well as international groups like the World Council of Churches and the Anglican Consultative Council have all urged similar economic boycotts of Israel. The initiative by the Protestant churches and church groups has strained relations with Jewish organisations who accuse the churches of singling out Israel for blame. From the International Middle East Media Centre, imemc.org, in Beit Sahor, Palestine, this is Rachel Jones.